This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, we left at the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was supporting Yusuf alayhi salam. And we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. And the question was, before we left, can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send revelation to a boy who is 7? And to a woman who is the mother of Musa alayhi salam? Allah used the same verb. He said here, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. And the word أَوْحَى means reveal, literally speaking. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَى وَإِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَىٰ النَّمْلِ النَّحْلِ. Okay, and the answer is? Exactly, that's the meaning here, which is to inspire. It's something that you will feel in the heart. And this exactly, you know, some of the scholars of tafsir said, you know, Yusuf started to be a prophet at that point. Subhanallah. That's the opinion of some scholars. But other scholars, they said, no, this is like inspiration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, put it in his heart to comfort him. And that was the first thing. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him 4 things that we will, inshallah, get out of this ayah. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. So the inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in itself was a comfort to the heart of Yusuf. Don't worry, you're not alone. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ. You will, at some point of time in the future, and تُنَبِّئ means something that will happen, in the future, بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا, about this situation. So it means you will live, you will not die in the world. You will reunite with your brothers. Not only that, you will be in a higher status because you will be reminding them, you know what you have done to me? Inshallah, if we come to that verse, I will remind you at this time when we said, yes, this is the time that we were referring to. If not, you have to join the eternal journey. Tafsir Surah Yusuf next year, inshallah. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And subhanAllah, this is exactly what will happen. And at that point, they wouldn't even recognize. Why? Because Yusuf at that time, when he would remind them of this, you know, happening or this event, there will be like a long time elapsed between the two situations. He's going to do this, you remember, you know when? When he is al-Aziz of Egypt. So it's like more than 30 years or 40 years later. And of course, Yusuf alayhi salam was very young at that time. He was 7. Imagine you haven't seen somebody since the age of 7 and he is now in his 40s. Would he look the same? So they could hardly recognize him. But he, when they left him, they were already adults. So he can't miss them. So he was talking to them and then he reminds him. He's like, do you remember what you have done to Yusuf? And they looked at him and they could hardly recognize that it was him. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, meant here. So what are the 4 things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Yusuf here? First of all, he comforted him. Right? وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. The inspiration itself. Second, لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُ means he will reunite with his brothers and family. Third, he will be in a higher status because, you know, it will be coming from him. Do you remember what you have done to me when I was young? And the last thing, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They wouldn't recognize at that time when he reminds them of this situation. Now let's move to the next verse, inshallah. Take a question here. Would the protection of one's honor fall under the preservation of progeny? Yes. In fact, sometimes some of the scholars use the word honor instead of progeny. So yes, the answer for this question is yes. And in Arabic, they use the word عرض, al-عرض. Now what happened after that? Let's go into Allah to the next. Oh, mashallah, you're ahead. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. Now, they left Yusuf in the well. And what is the time that they choose to come back? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عِشَاءً. They came back to their father, عِشَاءً. Why? Why is it that they choose عِشَاءً? What's the meaning of the word عِشَاء? When do we pray عِشَاء? After sunset, like at sunset we pray Maghrib, right? But when we wait until it's completely dark, and this is the time of Isha. And you see what I used? Like Isha means when it's completely dark. Why? Because they're going to be lying. So they wanted to something to help them to be undercover. Because what happens when you are lying? You know, when you deal with somebody for a long time, I'm not going to use the, you know, the marital relationship here in the analogy, okay? Not to offend anyone. But like, let's talk about parents. When one of your children comes to lie, you can tell. Some of them will be like, you know, not at ease, like, you know, moving all the time. Or somebody will be like, you know, blinking. I mean, he can tell, like, he's not telling them because he doesn't feel comfortable, subhanAllah. As if the human body is saying, this is haram. And I'm gonna embarrass you. Because subhanAllah, it's against the pure nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. Why do you lie? And the Prophet was asked, أَيَكُونَ الْمُؤْمِنُ جَبَانًا? Would a believer be coward? He said, yes. أَيَكُونَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بَخِيرًا? Would he be miserly? He said, yes. And he was asked, أَيَكُونَ الْمُؤْمِنُ كَذَّابًا? He said, no. Would a believer be a liar? He said, no. If somebody lies, he's not a believer. At the moment when he lies, he denies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hear him. So why did they choose Isha'an? Why did they choose the dark night? Because when they speak, you can tell through their facial expressions that they are lying. So they wanted it to be dark so that it will help them not to be discovered that they are lying. And look at the next word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yabukun. What's the meaning of Yabukun? Weeping. Is it really weeping? That's what I told you before. Don't translate the words literally. It means acting as if they are weeping. Because it's fake tears. It's false tears. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, and I'm sure that you will agree with me on this. Allah told us in Surah Al-Najm, and the verses are 43 and 44. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى. The only one who can make you laugh is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't fake laughing. And when you cry or when you weep, it has to be coming from your heart. And you can tell if somebody is trying to cry, but it's not genuine. It's not from the heart. Right or wrong? And that's what the Arab poet said. Where's our poet? He left again? Every time? Okay. The Arab poet said, إِذَا اشْتَبَهَ الدُّمُوعٌ فِي عُيُونٍ تَبَيَّنَ مَنْ بَكَى مِمَّنْ تَبَكَى. If you see the tears in the eyes of two people, you can tell who is really crying and who is really acting that he's crying. Because it can never be fake. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to be in a certain psychological state that you can cry from the heart. How many times did you try to cry and you never got the tears? Did this happen to you before? But how many times the tears will come to your eyes and you don't know why? How many times in your life you will be sitting by yourself and subhanAllah you're going to say, I don't want to be with anyone. Leave me alone. And you close the door and you start crying. And if somebody asks you, why are you crying? You say, I don't know. You know when? Do you know when this happened? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, إِنَّ فِي الْقَلْبِ لَوَحْشَةً لَا يَمْلَأُهَا إِلَّا الْأُنْسُ بِاللَّهِ. Meaning, there is a barrenness in the heart. It can never be, you know, filled without, or sorry, except with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that moment, your soul is crying to you, enough. The flesh has eaten so much, but I need some iman rush. I need my level of iman to go up. And these tears are like, you know, oh Allah, help me, I need you now. And these tears are mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After them, when somebody knocks on the door, you try just to hide the tears and say, how are you now? It's like, I'm relieved. I'm fine. Why? You started the connection with Allah again. See what I'm saying? Did this happen to you sometime? Yeah, these are the moments when you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they came, they were not crying, they were acting. Why? Because they want to trick their father and they want to get him to believe that they really care about Yusuf and they are sad now. Okay, how can we discover their lie? Let's continue. So they came during the night, they had fake tears, and then they said, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقَ. Stop here. Oh, our father, we went racing. We went playing. With Yusuf, was he racing and playing with you? No. وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا. We left Yusuf to guard our picnic items, to guard our luggage. Is that what you promised the day before? SubhanAllah. You said, أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدًا يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ. Send him with us tomorrow and he will eat and play. Right? Now we are, look at the first lie. This is the first lie. So they choose, you know, this is why they are not professional criminal. Right? And they say, there is nothing called perfect crime. The criminal, especially humans, you know, they will always make a mistake. They will always leave something behind. So here, they choose the knight to help them. It didn't help. They acted crying, and even their words will embarrass them. They said, we started, you know, to play. We went racing with one another. And Yusuf was left to guard the luggage, the picnic items. And then, subhanAllah, right away, فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئِ. So the wolf devoured him. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا. You wouldn't believe us. وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. Even if we are telling the truth. Why are you using the word truth? Because you're liars. SubhanAllah, they are trying to hide using the word truth because they know that they are liars. They say, look at them, they are attacking him. You wouldn't believe us. Even if we are telling the truth. Why? Because you are usually, like you became accustomed to lying. It became a second nature. So subhanAllah. Can we derive another evidence that they are not professional criminals from here? Yes, let me tell you this. When Yusuf alayhi salam, sorry, when the brothers of Yusuf asked the permission of their father, what did he say? They didn't plan even the excuse that they will come after they will banish him or kill him, or you know, they agreed to put, like to throw him, you know, at the bottom of the well. They didn't plan what to say. But when he said, وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئْبُ, and I fear that the wolf will devour him, said, like, here you go. He gave us the excuse. And that's what the scholars of tafsir said. They said, Yaqub alayhi salam, you know, he offered them the excuse when he said, وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئْبُ. So because they're not professional criminals, if they were professional criminals, would you like to learn the lesson how to be a professional criminal? Okay, you have to study criminology, inshallah. They should have took Yusuf for the first time and sent him back home. And then the second time and sent him back home safely. And then the third time, the wolf devoured him. It makes more sense, right? But subhanAllah, the first time you take him and you say the same excuse that your father gave you, what does it mean? You are messed up criminals, right? They don't know what they're doing. They're not professional, right? So this tells you again that they are not evil people, because these are the asbab. You see? Their greed for love and care from their father blinded them. And they just like, you know, we will do it. We want to get more care from our father. What's the result? They don't care. فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ. And then they said, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. What's next? SubhanAllah, when they said, وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ, even if we are telling the truth, this tells you how the sense of guilt was intensifying inside them. Right? Otherwise, they wouldn't mention the word truth, because they are far away from the truth. But they are attacking him. They say, you wouldn't believe us, even if we are telling the truth. Yes. Again, as I told you before, what is the meaning of غافلون that we shared before? The same word was used twice. And I gave you the literal meaning of غافل. It means heedless, unmindful, careless. And we used it twice now. Does it mean the same meaning? You see what I'm saying? So as I said before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word and you have to go deeper and understand the meaning. Don't take the literal meaning of the word. Deep in their nature, they're not professional criminals. But when they choose the night, and now they're saying the wolf devoured him, do you think that these people would be really crying? They're still insisting on their crime so far. They will cry later on when they repent. And Allah will show us the real time when they will really repent. But now, you know, they choose the night, and they're coming and they're lying, and they brought the shirt. We're going to talk about this now. So, the scholars of Tafsir said, Yabkun here doesn't mean the literal meaning of really crying or weeping. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ SubhanAllah. Look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the next verse. Who can read this in English, inshallah? One of the sisters? Yes. Yeah, 18 inshallah. The verse 18. Jazakallah khair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. This is exactly what they have done. They took off his shirt. Of course, there is no wolf involved, right? And what did they do? They slayed one of the goats, and they got some of the blood, and they stained the shirt. Again, no perfect crime. They forgot that they're going to say, the wolf devoured him. What a merciful wolf. Eating Yusuf without touching the shirt. This is exactly what their father said. He said, مَا أَرْأَفَ الذِّئْبُ بِبْنِ يُوسُفُ. Like, what a merciful wolf of my son Yusuf. He ate him without touching the shirt. See what I'm saying? Again, no perfect crime. They were lying. But more than this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ. And they brought his shirt and they said, بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. In Arabic language, the word kadhib is a noun. And we're talking about blood. When we use, we should use an adjective to describe the dam, which is blood. So it would be, in Arabic, in classical Arabic, it should be makdhub. Dam, makdhub. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used a noun plus a noun, which means, let me give you the analogy. It's going to make it easy for you because moving from the Arabic into the English, it wouldn't make sense to you. When I say, listen to this analogy. When I say, Yasir is courageous or brave. Okay? This means that he has a quality of being courageous, right? But can I say in Arabic, Yasir is courage? We can say this in Arabic. What does this mean? I'm trying to say, like, you know, I'm trying to exaggerate the quality of bravery in him. You see what I'm saying? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he said, dam means blood, and kadhib means lying. It's the noun itself. As if the blood that they stained the shirt with was crying and saying, I am a lie. I am not real blood. I am a lie. Look how the language is strong that's used in the Quran. So as if the blood that they brought to stain the shirt was crying and saying, I am a lie, I am not real blood. So the word dam in kadhib, as if we're saying, you know, blood, that is a lie. Not like, you know, the translation would be like, you know, false blood, fake blood. This is not exactly the Arabic. The Arabic is so strong. Did you get the analogy? When I say, you know, President so-and-so is fair or just. Okay? This is one of his qualities. But we can say in Arabic, you know, President so-and-so is justice. As if he is the embodiment of justice. So the blood here is the embodiment of lying itself. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word damin kadib. So as if the blood is lying embodied in the form of the action that they have done when they stain the shirt with some fake blood. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. What was the answer from Ya'qub alayhi salam? Now you are in a situation and I want you just to put yourself in the shoes of Ya'qub alayhi salam. 10 of your sons are coming and they are giving you the news that your son, your other son, was devoured by a wolf. And you know deep in the heart that they are lying. Look at this situation now. I just want you to put yourselves in his shoes and feel what he would feel. You are between two fires now. You lost a son. And who's claiming that he's lost? And you feel fishy that they killed him? Your other sons. It's a very difficult situation. And this is why, when a person in such a difficult situation, what should you do? To whom should you resort? You remember the word Samad? Yes, we all need him, but he doesn't need us. And this is why, subhanAllah, when he said to them, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. This is an indication that he doesn't believe they're lying. He said, yourselves, you know, you are making up a tale. You're saying something which is not true. And then he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. What do I need now? Beautiful patience, which means I should be patient without complaining. Because what should I do? I lost my son. And who caused his loss? My other son. This is a very difficult situation. Who should be sought for help at that point? وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. No one can help me in this situation except Allah. And this is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. عِنْدَمَا كَانَ يَحْزُبُهُ أَمْرٌ. As the hadith says, when the Prophet was in a situation that no one can help him except Allah, كَانَ يَهْرَعْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. And this is exactly the hadith that Shaykh Walid was sharing with you this morning. He would rush to the prayer and he would say, أَرِحْنَا بِهَا يَا بِلَاي. Comfort us, Bilal. Say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And let's join the prayer. And this is exactly what Ya'qub said. He said, وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. Allah is the only one that we should resort to at such a situation. What does it mean? They say, we have asbab and we have khaliq al-asbab. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created means for us, right? If you need like some help, like if you are sick, you go to the doctor, right? If you need knowledge, you go to somebody with knowledge. Right? But sometimes, all the means in this world are not enough for you. Nobody can help you except the one who created the means. And when you come to such a situation, there is nobody who can help you except. And this is exactly the situation. It's a very difficult situation, by the way. When we say sabrun jameel, you come to a situation where, like as if somebody is taping your mouth, you can't complain. But you are full of sadness. You are in a situation that's very confusing. I lost my son, and it's my other sons who did this to him. What should I say? I can't speak. Because I have to stick to sabrun jameel. I have to have beautiful patience. I can't complain from the qadr of Allah. I can only complain to Allah. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ would say, comfort us with salah bilal. Let's go and pray. Because what's the meaning of salah, dear brothers and sisters? The word salah is derived from the word in Arabic, silah, which means connection, relationship. It's a very special spiritual connection with Allah. When you stand there and you really say Allahu Akbar and you mean it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts of you above seven heavens in front of the angels. What do you say in prayer? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained Al-Fatiha to us. He said, قسمت الصلاة بيني وبين عبدي. And by the way, the word الصلاة here means الفاتحة in this hadith. He said, I divided الفاتحة two parts between me and my servant. فإذا قال عبدي الحمد لله رب العالمين. If it's coming from your heart, not from your tongue, and you mean it, and you reflect on it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above seven heavens would say, حمدني عبدي. الله أكبر. Shall you do this inshallah in Maghrib? From the heart? And imagine, wallahi, if it's coming from your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above seven heavens is proud of you in front of the angels, saying, my servant is thanking me. And that's the meaning of Alhamdulillah. All praises due to Allah. Who is Allah? The Lord of all the worlds. And then he would say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say, if it's coming from your heart, Majadani Abdi. My servant is glorifying me. And then you say, Maliki Yawm al-Din. If you just reflect on the day of recompense, the day of judgment, and how people will be scared on that day, what will happen on that day, and the sun will be very close, people will be sweating, nobody knows what's going to happen next. SubhanAllah, if you just reflect on that day when you say, Maliki Yawm al-Din, he's the one in control, and he's going to say on that day, Liman al-Mulku al-Yawm. Who's in control today? Nobody will answer. He would say, Aina al-Muluk, Aina al-Jababira. Where are the kings? Where are the tyrants? Liman al-Mulku al-Yawm. Who's in control today? Nobody would answer. And then the third time, Liman al-Mulku al-Yawm. Who's in dominion today? Nobody would answer. And he's going to answer himself. He's going to say, Lillahi al-Wahid al-Qahhar. Everything today, nobody can talk. And he would say, I have listened to you. All your life you have been talking and I have been listening. But today, I will talk and nobody will talk. You will listen. So on that day, when you say, Malik Yawm al-Din, do you reflect on that? And when you say, Malik Yawm al-Din, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say, Atna alayya abdi. Now my servant knows that I am in dominion on the day of judgment. And he's preparing himself for that day. This is why, dear brothers and sisters, many of the Salaf, when they used to pray, Al-Fatiha would take half an hour from them. And I'm sure today, if somebody like reads Al-Fatiha in such a way, just to reflect on it, you will think that the Imam, you know, died or something happened to him. Why isn't he speaking? SubhanAllah. And this is why a man came to Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and he said, I want to have, you know, khushu' in my salah. And then he said, go ahead and pray. And he said, like, I read the Quran. I can even read the whole Quran when I'm praying, but I don't feel anything. And then he said, okay, imagine that I will be watching you today while you're praying. And subhanAllah, the next day he came and he said, I only prayed with half of the Quran. Then he said, okay, now, imagine tomorrow, inshallah, that the Prophet ﷺ is watching you while you're praying. And he said, I could only read Juz Amma, the last Juz of the Quran. Then Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, imagine tomorrow that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. He said, I could finish Al-Fatiha. So can you reflect on that? When you are praying, you are talking to Allah. How many times have you reflected on that? Salah means you are talking to Allah. And wallahi, Allah is responding. This is exactly what Allah said in the hadith. He said, I have divided al-Fatiha between me and my servant. Until you say, Iyyaka na'bud. You alone we worship. You don't say, we worship you alone. You say, you alone. You start with monotheism first. We don't associate partners with you in our worship. SubhanAllah. And look at this. Why do you say we? In Arabic, we say na'bud. And na'bud means we worship. Because when we are standing together, we are one ummah. And we care about each other. And today, brothers and sisters, they will be standing next to each other like, you know, don't touch me. And subhanAllah, there will be a brother, a blood brother, and he's standing next to his brother, and they have enmity because of inheritance issue. And we are saying why the ummah is suffering today. You say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ. You alone, we worship. And then you say, you alone, نَسْتَعِينَ. We seek for help. So this is the first part. And then the second part, you start requesting. And subhanAllah, this is exactly what your child will do to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, you know, He's the all merciful. You say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He's the all merciful. And when you deal with your parents, like, you know, those who are married and have children, when your child wants something from you, how do they behave? SubhanAllah, the same way. They wouldn't come and say, give me $50. I have a field trip tomorrow. Now. No, they wouldn't do that. If they want to get the $50, they will come. Dad, are you mad at me? No? No. Oh, okay, I'll come again later. And then they will try again. Like, you know, Dad, you're smiling now. Are you okay with me? Yeah. You look handsome today. What does this mean? Praising you. He doesn't want you to listen with your ears. He wants to go to your heart. You see? Allah is teaching us this. When you communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't speak with the tongue. Let it be from the heart. Because Allah will never listen to the tongue. Allah listens to the heart. This is why I keep asking brothers and sisters, how did you feel before salah? The same after salah, akhi. Yeah. So, congratulations for the workout. You didn't pray. If there is no connection between your heart and Allah, you didn't pray. You just, you know, did workout, up and down. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is exercise, physical exercise. But there is no spiritual exercise. Right? And your son will do this. And he will come close, like, give me a hug. Of course I know that my son wants something. I say, like, go ahead. What do you want? I love you. I say, I know. What's next? 50, 20, 70? Like, only, you know, they need 20, but like, you know, I like some pocket money. Like, if you can give me 50, that would be good. Then do you think if he comes and hugs you and kiss you and, you know, praise you, would you say no? SubhanAllah. Allah is teaching us. And then after that we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. You start requesting. After you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it's coming from the heart, you start requesting. Guide us to the straight path. What's the straight path? It's Islam. And then you start elaborating that صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. What's صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ? The way of those on whom you bestowed your blessings. It's in Surah An-Nisa. مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. It's a condition. If you obey the messenger, you are obeying Allah. Because he's the messenger from Allah, right? And then right after that, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. A person who would do this, he will be with those on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed his blessings. Who are they? Listen to what comes next. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Prophets. وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. وَالشُّهَدَاءِ. وَالصَّالِحِينَ. وَحَسَنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. These are the best company. So prophets, صديقين, like Abu Bakr, like Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf ayyuha as-siddiq, we'll come across this inshallah if we finish what we said. والصالحين and the righteous, and these are the best company. Yeah. And then you say غير المغضوب عليهم, not the path of those with whom you're angry. Who are they? Yeah, some people would say the Jews. Not only that, and everyone who behaves like them. Why? Why Allah is angry with them? Because they have the knowledge and they don't act upon it. How many Muslims do this today? So don't say this again. If anyone who has the knowledge, but who doesn't act. And in Islam, you are cornered. There is no way out. If you don't know, listen to the Quran. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know, ask the people with knowledge. And if you know, وَقُلْ اعْمَلُوا. Like act upon the knowledge. And Allah, the Prophet ﷺ told Haritha, he said, Haritha, لقد علمت فلزم. Now that you know, stick to that path because this is the right path. So I want, inshallah, you to read al-Fatiha with new eyes. And I want you to recite al-Fatiha starting today on from the heart, not the tongue. Let's go back. So you see, we stopped at sabrun jameel. So sabrun jameel means beautiful patience. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked, ما الصبر الجميل؟ قال هو الصبر الذي لا شكوى معه. It's patience without complaining. But you have to add something between brackets. To other than Allah. Because the Orientalists, المستشرقون, who studied the Quran and Islam to try to find something to attack Islam, they said, Yusuf عليه السلام said here, فصبر جميل. And later on, he would say, إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله. I complain because of my anguish and grief to Allah. They say, you said, your prophet said, beautiful patience means patience without complaining. And here is Yaqub who is complaining. We say, you just say to a person like this, Mr. Ignorant, if we don't complain to Allah, to whom else shall we complain? We will die out of suffering. So you can complain to Allah. But you shouldn't be complaining to other than Allah because they are weak people like you. And again, I shared this with you yesterday. It's very important to understand this because some people are confused. If I am sick, for example, should I complain? If you complain saying, why Allah? That's wrong. Because لا يسأل عما يفعله مسأل الله is not to be questioned, but we are to be questioned. But if you are sharing with someone, he's going to say, you know, how do you feel? Alhamdulillah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me with this, but inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me amongst the patient. You are not denying the fact like, why Allah? You're just sharing it with someone. You're not complaining. You're just sharing it. That's okay. That's fine. And I told you the evidence when Aisha radiallahu anha was saying, wa ra'sa, oh my head, because she had a severe headache. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bal ana ya Aisha wallahi wa ra'sa. Aisha, I have a more severe headache more than you. So they were talking to each other. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ would say, no, Aisha, don't complain. Don't say this. You see what I'm saying? So she was not saying, why Allah are you giving me a headache? No. She was just trying to get sympathy from the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? In the meantime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the means. So your heart shouldn't be attached to the means. Your heart should be attached to the one who created the means. What do I mean by this? Let me give you a real life example. When you get sick, some people adopt one of two situations, two extremes. Someone was going to say, I trust Allah. I will never take any medication. I'm not going to go to those doctors. They know nothing. My grandfather have never seen a doctor. And this is why he died, you know, in his... So my question is, is that right? This is an extreme. Why? The evidence. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الدَّاءَ خَلَقَ الدَّوَاءَ فَتَدَاهُ. The one who created the disease, created the medication. Seek treatment by taking the medication. But your heart should be attached to the one who created the brain, to the chemist to make the medication, and the brain of the physician who will try to diagnose the disease and examine you, and diagnose and prescribe the medication. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Let me elaborate on this. I'll give you a real example. Somebody has a headache. And then he would say, anybody here with extra strength, Tylenol? And then he will take two pills. Like, man, are you okay now? Yeah, thanks to Tylenol. No, that's wrong. Tylenol is the means. But wallahi, you can take all the Tylenol in the world and you still have the headache. You should thank Allah who created a brain for a chemist who made the Tylenol. So you should go up to the source, not to the means. You see what I'm saying? Somebody will have a problem and he will go to a doctor. And this doctor is very famous. MashaAllah, she's a very good person, or he's a very good person. Everybody who goes there, she's very experienced. When I say, do you have this problem? Go to the doctor. And then the person would go, and like, you know, Once everything is okay, and Allah cures the sick person, and then the next person is going to ask him, like, no, where should I go? It's like, no, go to that doctor. MashaAllah, she will cure you in 5 days. Is that right? No, she will treat you in 5 days, 5 years, whatever. But who's going to cure you? In 5 seconds, in 5 years, or will let you be sick for the rest of your life? And this is, how do we learn this? Go back to Surah Al-Shu'ara that we shared yesterday and learn from Ibrahim the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He pointed at the idol and he said, إِنَّهُمْ عَدُوُّ لِي. They are enemies to me. And then he said, إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is the aqidah of the mu'min. Except for the Lord of the worlds. He said, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي. Who's the one who gave me everything? He brought me to life. Who gave me health? Who gave me wealth? فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ. He didn't leave me in this world just to go astray. He provided guidance in the Quran and a messenger to apply this. And he was a human being. And then he said, وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. What did he put? هُوَ here? Remember yesterday? هُوَ means? It's a confirmation that it's only Allah who feeds us and provides drink for us. Because when you're a child, you can see that your father and your mother, they feed you. So if they ask you, who's feeding you? It's like, my mom. I remember, my youngest kid, I hate shopping, Who amongst the men hate shopping? Or the majority? I know that, I know the sisters, this is like one of the joys of life, right? I hate to go to the mall. So, subhanAllah, I would give my wife the money and she would go and buy the stuff for the kids. So while we were sitting one time and say, okay, say three positive things, every one of us in the family, say three positive things about each other. And then the youngest one, she said, my mom always buys us everything. The food, the clothes, everything. And I should encourage that, of course. But then her mom, mentioned, said, your dad gives me the money. She said, I never saw this. You are the one who does everything. And then subhanAllah, the eldest one, I remember when she was young, she used to ask me, who brings the food? And who brings the clothes? And to correct the aqidah from an early time, I used to say, Allah. He's going to say, Allah is not living with us. Allah is up there. And I see you. You go to the wall and you put something and then the money comes out. This is how the kids think. And you have to be very careful, by the way, because now you are inculcating the right aqidah in them. And I say, okay, let's go into the vicious circle then, since you took me there. Some parents would don't talk about this, let's move on, okay? That's wrong, because they're going to ask bad company, and they will have corrupted aqidah. You see what I'm saying? So you have to go down to that level. I said, what is that? He said, this is money. I said, okay. Next time, I took her to the bank, and she said, this money is coming through a machine. And then there were people working there who put the money there. So I took her into the vicious circle, and I was like, at the very beginning, I said, how did you come to this life? She said, from the tummy of my mom. I said, okay. And then, so Allah gave you a mom. Where did your mom come? From the tummy of my grandmother. You see what I'm saying? You have to be careful. And then I said, great. So if you go back, you will find there was a man to start with and a woman. She said, yes. Isn't this the story that you shared with us about Adam and Hawa? I said, perfect. We are there now. So this is the beginning. Who created them? He said, Allah. I said, perfect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the originator of all of us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave your father a brain. This is why he is here with you now. Otherwise he should be, the hospital? He doesn't have a brain? And subhanAllah, those people will be saved from hellfire. May Allah save us all from hellfire. but they will be in the lowest, rank in Jannah. May Allah take us there. Is this your target? Firdaus. Is this your target? No, there's something above. The company of the Prophet. And remind me, inshallah, to share a story with you about this, inshallah. I think time is almost over. And I just want to prepare you for the... Can you go to the next page? Okay, go back, inshallah. I just finished this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya'qub was saying, Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun. So it's only Allah, as I told you, when the time comes that nothing can help you in this life, no one can help you in this life, and you are in a very hard situation, and now Ya'qub is between a son lost, and who caused that? The other sons. So he can't complain, except to, and I told you the Prophet ﷺ, when he is in such a situation, he would go to Salah. And this is why we talked about Salah. Okay? And then at the end he said, Allah is the one whose help is to be sought in this situation. عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. The word tasifun, literally it means with that which you describe. But in fact, again, back to the sister who was asking about Yabkun, they were crying. Again, what's the meaning of yasifun here? It doesn't mean describe. It means what you are lying. Because they are lying. How can you say this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in the Quran. You know, in Surah An-Nahl, which is Surah number 16, and the verse is 116. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبُ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. Do not say to what your tongues describe as lying. This is halal and this is haram. See what I'm saying? So they are lying. And all of us now though, know. We know the story, right? We know the plot. So the word tasifun here means, I will just seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the lies that you are telling me. And there will come a day where they will confess and admit their crime. I promised you a story at the end. What was it? No, this is for tomorrow. The atheist, this will take 7 minutes, and I need to give you a break before the wild card. Abu Lahab. Yeah. But I said I will start one today, and I'm not going to finish it. Right? No, there was another one. If you don't remember it, yeah. Exactly. The reason for the revelation of وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Okay, let me finish the one about Abu Lahab yesterday, the wife of Abu Lahab. When she went, I asked you a question, what's his real name? I think we'll take one sister, if not, then we'll go to the brothers. What's the real name of Abu Lahab? Abu Lahab is a title for him, the father of the flame. Yes, sister? Abdul Uzza ibn Abdul Muttalib. MashaAllah. Can you just pass this? Abdul Uzza ibn Abdul Muttalib. So his wife went, when she heard the story, when she heard the surah, and to her this was satire, right? This was poetry for her. تَبَّتْ يَدَ أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَا لَهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ. She got a rock in her hand, and she said, وَاللَّهِ لَئِنْ رَأَيْتُ مُذَمَّمًا لَأَلْقِمَنَّ فَاهُ هَذَا الْحَجَرِ. Like they used to say, to call the Prophet ﷺ Mudammam, which is the opposite of Muhammad, the one who should be praised and thanked all the time. So they use the opposite meaning. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ was very, can I use a 21st century description? You know, when your kids say, this is a cool person, he wouldn't get mad. They used to say Mudammam, Mudammam, and one time he was sitting with the Sahaba and he said, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ كَيْفَ يَصْرِفُ اللَّهُ عَنِّي سَبَّ قُرَيْشٍ وَشَتْمُهَا. Don't you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns away the insulting, you know, and the cursing of Quraysh away from me? They said, how, Prophet of Allah? He said, they are cursing and insulting somebody called the Mudammam. And I am Muhammad. It's not me. You see? Let it go. So when she went there and she went to the Kaaba and the Prophet ﷺ was sitting next to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And she talked to him. She said, Aina Mudammama? Like, where is Mudammam? And she meant the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ was sitting next to him. So Abu Bakr would look at her and look at the Prophet ﷺ. And she kept saying, like, you know, Aina Mudammama? And he kept looking at her and at him. He's like, you know, if I see him, I would hit him in the mouth with this rock. And then she left. And then Abu Bakr looked at the Prophet and he said, Prophet of Allah, what happened? She was asking about you and you're just sitting right in front of her. He said, didn't you read what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran? فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمُنُونَ بِهِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا. If you were to read the Quran, we will make a barrier between you and those who do not believe in the verses of the Quran. I started reading the Quran. Allah made a barrier between me and her. She couldn't see me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. What about the story? The people of Yemen, when they used to come for Hajj, they wouldn't give, you know, they wouldn't bring anything with them. Of course, when you're traveling for Hajj, you have to take, you know, clothes with you, you have to take money with you, you have to take food with you. And at that time, there were no planes, there were no, you know, trains, there were no cars. So subhanAllah, when they ask the people of Yemen, like, you know, why are you coming without any provisions? They wouldn't take anything with them. They say, نحن المتوكلون. We trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not going to take anything. And when they used to go there, around the haram, they would beg people for things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَزَوَّدُوا. Now, when you are traveling, take provision with you. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. But the best of provision is taqwa. And this means that's what you should provide for yourself for the second life. For the second life. Taqwa is the only provision that will benefit you in the second life. I'm going to start in 2 minutes, inshallah, and then I'll give you the rest, inshallah, for a break. The story of how to turn an atheist into a monotheist. The challenge was in 10 minutes, but I finished in 7 minutes. Okay? And this is how it started, but I'm not going to finish it, inshallah. Okay? Like, I was chatting on the internet, and somebody was asking me, what's your name? And I told him my name. He said, like, you know, where are you from? At that time, I was teaching at the College of Sharia at Kuwait University. And I said, I'm an Egyptian in Kuwait. He said, you must be a Muslim. I said, you're using stereotypes here? Like, you know, in Egypt, we have 10% Coptic Christians. And I said, I'm an Egyptian. How can you definitely say that I am a Muslim? My name is not Muhammad. You see what I'm saying? And then I said, anyway, let's continue. He said, like, you must be a Muslim. I said, I am. What about you? He said, I'm an atheist. I said, no. And then he said, I am an atheist. I said, I'm saying no. He said, I know myself. I said, no, you're not an atheist. Would you accept the challenge? He said, yes. I said, take off your watch. Put it in front of you. In 10 minutes, I'll prove to you that you are not an atheist. Because subhanAllah, the word atheist in itself, when they come and ask you, where is God? Does He exist? What does it mean? It means that their pure nature, which is distorted now, it's telling them from deep inside that there is a God and He's looking for him. So the fact itself that they are looking for a God tells you that they have something in their heart that tells them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a pledge on us when we were in the spiritual world. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 172. He said, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ قال ألست بربكم قالوا بلى شهدنا أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين أو تقولوا إنما أشرك آباؤنا من قبل وكنا ذرية من بعضهم ضعفاء أفتهلكنا بما فعل المبطلون. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath from us when we were in the spiritual world, in the back of our father Adam. And he said, am I not your Lord? And all of us, we said, in the spiritual world, we said, yes, you are our Lord. And go back and study the verses. The two excuses will be, أن تقولوا إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين. So Allah says, don't come tomorrow and say, we were heedless about this. أو تقولوا إنما أشرك آباؤنا من قبل. Or you might say that our forefathers associated partners with you and we were heedless of this. We didn't know this. And we followed them. أفتهلكنا بما فعل المبطلون. Would you destroy us because of what our forefathers did? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blocked the excuses for us. This is why. But this is for you. I'm not saying this to him. So I went back to him and I said, okay, let's do this. I said, are you ready? He said, yes. I said, first question. how can we communicate now? He said that God doesn't exist. He said, yes. I said, why? He said, because I can't touch him, I can't see him. I can only believe in things that I can touch and see. I said, perfect. Do you have parents? He said, yes. I said, where are they? He said, back home. I said, they don't exist. Write this down. Point two, how can we communicate now? He said, through the internet. I said, there is nothing called the internet. Can you see it? He said, no. Can you touch it? He said, no. I said, write that down. I just believe in the internet. How can we communicate now? He said, through the computer. I said, what's the computer? He said, who made the computer? He said, an electronic engineer. I said, have you seen him doing that? He said, no. He said, there is nothing called electronic computer. Engineers, write this down. What is a computer, man? He said, I said, do you mean that random combination of electronic circuits and plastic pieces? He said, no. It's the sophisticated work of an electronic engineer. I said, like, have you seen him doing this? He said, no. I said, write it down. It doesn't exist. You know what? Can we compromise? He said, yes. I said, write this down. A computer maker rather than electronic engineer. He said, okay. And then I said, how did you get your computer to work? He said, through power. I said, what's power? He said, electricity. I said, what's electricity? He said, like, you know, it makes the computer work. I said, can you touch electricity? He said, no. Can you send me a piece of electricity by mail? He said, no. I said, there is no electricity. Write it down. And then I said, where do you put your computer? He said, on a table. I said, what's a table? Oh, you mean that random combination of pieces of wood that came together by itself? He said, no. It's the artistic work of a carpenter. I said, what's a carpenter? He said, a table maker. I said, write this down. I can agree, a table maker. It makes sense to me, but there is not. Did you see the carpenter doing that? It's like, no. I said, there are no carpenters. And then I said, now, do you have a camera? He said, yes. I said, turn it on. Can you see me? He said, yes. I said, are you terrified? And then I said, can you make a conclusion? How many eyes do you have? He said, two. I said, what about me? He said, two. He said, do you have more than one nose? He said, no, one. He said, like me? Yeah. Can you conclude something? He said, oh, yeah. What was the next answer, if you want to know this? Come tomorrow, because there is a very nice story that exactly relates to this. We'll share it tomorrow, inshallah. JazakAllah khair.